So in September, the U.S. trade deficit fell to its lowest level since the mid-2020s, narrowing it to $52.8 billion. Exports rose 3%, imports climbed 0.6%. And this aligns with Donald Trump's tariff strategy. And while many of these export increases, fueled by a surge in non-monetary gold shipments, there are questions about how sustainable this is. That's why we bring in Dr. Tim Nash, the Senior Vice President Emeritus and Director of the Northwood University Center for the Advancement of Free Enterprise and the Enterprise Entrepreneurship, rather, at Northwood University. Doc, good morning to you.
Chris, great to be with you.
Okay, so the narrowing of the trade deficit, is this sustainable? That you throw in the non-monetary gold exports into this, to what extent is that driving these numbers? And how overall sustainable is this?
Well, they're setting a number of variables that come into play. You know, some economists would say the trade deficit, is it a problem? Is it not a problem? Because if you look at trade is simply goods. If you look at services, with a number of countries for a long time, we've had surpluses in area like engineering, computer programming, consulting, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, you go back to, say, 2022, we had a trade deficit with Canada, but we had a trade surplus in services that took an $80 billion trade deficit with Canada down to high 40s. And then, you think about what you do with a dollar. A dollar can buy you goods, services, or assets. And so once a Canadian, say, has excess dollars versus the U.S., the question is, what do they do with those dollars? And in Canada, the Canadians have invested in the U.S. right now over $500 billion that Canadians have invested in American firms, creating jobs in America as well. Whereas the United States has about $400 billion invested in Canada. So if you add up the total balance of trade, balance of services, and balances of assets, most people would say we're a lot better off. And if you look at Canada, we're about a 350 million person country. They're a little over 40 million. We're expecting that Canada's going to buy 6.5 times as much from us as we buy from them. That's never going to happen. We're never going to have a trade surplus with Canada. And I think that kind of answers, in a micro sense, my answer to your macro question. I think overall, a trade deficit with the United States and many countries just doesn't – I'm sorry, a trade surplus just doesn't make sense. So I would say that when we look at the recent figures, we number one – have that bigger issue that I just mentioned. And then the other part that we're not looking at is, there are a number of negatives to this. Foreign countries aren't buying our agriculture the way they used to. Right now, if you look at just, say, soybeans in Michigan, it's a $2 billion hit. American farmers, and especially Michigan farmers, are in a real difficult situation because of this.
Yeah, and that's why all of that money is coming from the federal government to farmers, because I think that's an acknowledgement that they are in trouble. Question for you, just like micro, as we're talking macro and micro. I saw that the merchandise trade shortfall with China is now second smallest. Remember way back when Trump was like, we don't need all that crap from China. Do you think that's changing?
Well, I think, Jamie, that's a great question. And the reality is, we don't need a lot of the things we buy from China. And from a national defense standard, there are a lot of things that we're currently buying from China that we should give a second look to. I don't think it's wise that a country that threatens our dominance and security numerous times this year alone, you can say some of it's under the table, but should we be buying our pharmaceuticals to the degree that we do from China? Mm-hmm. Should we be dependent on rare earth elements, an industry we dominated in the 1990s and gave it away and didn't protect it by the end of the 1990s? So, yes, that's it's good in some ways, but the overall factor is, is of concern for the reason I just noted, especially national defense.
We just have a minute left here. What are the economic ramifications if the Supreme Court invalidates a big chunk of the president's tariff program?
Well, if I had the exact answer to that, C. Renwick, I would be calling you from my
penthouse,
private island in the Caribbean. But,
right.
but what I will say to you is, if that moves against the president, there are two things he can take to the bank. Number one, it will cost the U.S. and there will be some level of paybacks back on the, you know, no billions or trillions of dollars in investment that were tied to lower tariffs. But the second point is, we will shift from tariffs to quotas. And tariffs are good if the government wants revenue, and they don't necessarily stop products from getting into the U.S. You just have to pay a higher price. We'll move to quotas. I don't like either of them, but the quotas at least would protect American products. And as prices went up, the money would go to the companies, not to the government. So I think that's something to ponder a little bit. And maybe we can talk about that some other time. But that's a real good point, the difference between tariffs and quotas and why.
Dr. Tim Nash, always appreciate the insight. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's an honor being on your show. Keep up the great work.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Meanwhile, did you see there was a little bit of rebellious vote by House Republicans yesterday? They voted, a number of them, voted to overturn President Trump's executive order that ended collective bargaining rights for the federal workforce, and particularly amongst the unions. Representative Johnson said this is a victory for working families across the country. And this is the first time that they've successfully repealed a Trump executive order.
Interesting. They also tried to do some work, at least for show, on this health care subsidies. But
that didn't pass, right?
Well, they deadlocked on these competing proposals to avert rising health care premiums.
That's what we told you yesterday.
Democrats turned back a Republican alternative that would replace subsidies with an expansion of this, like, HSA, give people $1,500. And then Republicans did the same thing to Democrats, who demanded, you know, let's just keep this thing going for a couple years. And so nothing has happened. And so people's premiums are going to go up.
Yep. 2 days ago, I guess, technically. They didn't have the votes. Nobody had the votes. Democrats didn't have the votes. Republicans didn't have the votes. And so, you know, you've got the Fetterman plan out there, which is extend these subsidies for a year while you work on this thing. I don't know that there is any appetite for that, but we'll continue to watch for it. Take a break. More next on JR Morning.